wise of it's been sponsored this month by a dear friend, Rabbi Taubman, because he had a grandchild, and it's always good to have a celebration. We look forward to hearing Rabbi Eli. Thank you very much.
Mazel tov to Rabbi Taubman. Well, thank you for spelling out Henry W-H-Y-S. You probably meant as opposed to W-I-S-E. But I suppose we could take this word W-I-S-E as well, because once you know the reasons for the mitzvahs, then you will become more wise W-I-S-E. As we approach Shavuos, Zman Matan Torah, we're going to reflect on the ideas which emanate from Na'aseh V'Nishma. Hashem offered the Torah to other peoples of the world. They gave their excuses. They wanted to still perform their Ganevas or Arroyos. And Hashem comes to us, and without asking what is in the Torah, we said Na'aseh V'Nishma, which meant that we will do whatever it says without necessarily knowing the reasons. But Nishma means after that we may come to understand what those reasons are. And what we're going to ask today is, should we be delving into the reasons for the mitzvahs, or should we simply say, no, Hashem told me to do these mitzvahs, as I state, as they say in Irish, and therefore I should just do it without asking what the reasons are. What is the more correct approach? On the one hand, if you know the reasons for the mitzvahs, surely it will lead to a greater appreciation of them. It will lead to more enthusiasm and islavos. You will understand what the Rotzon Hashem is, and therefore you'll surely enter it with greater excitement and enthusiasm, have hisponinus. You will become more wise, W-I-S-E. The other important aspect is that when you're teaching your children, or anybody for that matter, it will be much more convincing if you can explain to them what the reasons are. Unfortunately, there are young people going off the derech because they don't understand the reasons for what they're doing and for why they were told what to do. So on those grounds, it should be logical to say that we will find the reasons for every single mitzvah. On the other hand, if we say, look, that's the way God said so, it's Gezeras HaKosev, and if you do give reasons, people are going to start messing around with them. They might say, well, it doesn't really apply to me, this reason, and therefore they might be more lax in keeping the commandments. And therefore, Na'aseh V'Nishma is the appropriate way. We'll just do it. Could we close the window, please? The Rambam takes a very interesting approach. In almost every mitzvah he can, he tries to give a reason, particularly in his Sefer Moreh Nevuchim. In his Mishnah Torah at the end of Me'ilah, he says, Roy lo la'odom lehisponein, b'mishpatei ha-Torah. It is befitting for a person to delve and to understand the reasons for the reasons of the Torah and its mitzvahs, HaTorah HaKadosha, the Leda Sof in Yonam Kefi Kocho, and according to his aptitude to understand and to know what it is all about. And at the end of Temurah, the Rambam writes, Afal Pi Shekol Chukei HaTorah Gezerasein, even though they are edicts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we should keep without question, Royal Isponein Bohem, it is befitting to understand and to delve into them. V'chol Ma She'ata Yochol Litein Lo Tam, and anything which you can give a reason to, take no time, give a reason. Obviously there are some mitzvahs which you just don't know the reason for because they are called chukim, but even the chukim you might find reasons for. The Rambam therefore uses the approach of ro'oi, it's befitting. He doesn't really say you are chayav to find the reasons, but it is the right thing to do. It is the best way forward. And as we said, in Moreh Nevuchim he gives many reasons. And a similar approach is taken by Rav Sadia Gaon, by the Ibn Ezra. Either there may be health benefits of mitzvahs or economical benefits of mitzvahs, or it will be enhancing social structure as your position in society, or to enhance your spiritual welfare. And the Rambam even goes as far as trying to give reasons for shatnas, for example. Shatnas is a chok. The Torah won't give us reasons for it. We do it because Hashem told us to. But even for something like shatnas, the Rambam talks about that was the way of the non-Jewish priests, what they were wearing. Or he speaks about the mixing of different species of the animal world and the plant world. Difficult to understand, but he tries nevertheless to give us ideas. A few weeks ago, when we had the Seder night, we had the Chacham saying, the Chacham wants to know everything. And he's referring there to three kinds of mitzvahs: Eidus, Chukim, and Mishpatim. So, mitzvahs which we accept on ourselves very easily, Eidus, because we're given the reasons for them. Tzitzis, we're given a reason in order that you remember the mitzvahs. Tefillin, that you remember Tzias Mitzrayim. Sukkah, Laman Yedu Darasechem, Kiva Sukkah Sashavti, that you remember what happened in the Midbar, that you were protected by Sukkahs. Shofar is also another one. Lulav, Shabbos, Shmita, Yovel, we understand these as being Eidus. Shabbos, Kisheshes Yomim Oso Hashem, 6 days Hashem created the world, and on the seventh day he rested, so we're celebrating creation. And interestingly, in our Musaf Shemona Esra, on Shabbos, we say, To'ameh Chayim Zochu. To'ameh, we're alluding to the reasons of Shabbos, as to something which we appreciate. There's the mitzvah of Kiddush Becharos, the firstborn. Kiliko Bechor, Beyomi Kosiko Bechor Be'etz Mitzrayim, the day that I smitten the firstborn in Egypt, Ikdashini Ko Bechor Be'Yisrael, I've made Kodosh the firstborn amongst Israel. Bamidbar, chapter Gimel, Posuk Yud Gimel. So we get reasons for those. So that's one kind, the Eidus. So the Chochem said more Eidus, V'Hachukim, what are Chukim, the statutes, which are not given a reason. Kilayim, shatnas, bosa b'cholov, mixing meat and milk. You might argue health reasons, but there is no such reason given by the Torah. And of course the classic one is Pora Adumo, the red cow. Shlomo HaMelech said, I found reasons for every single mitzvah, but I just cannot find a reason for the red cow. But there's a sefer called Yalkut Yitzchok, which gives reasons for all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and it lists 23 reasons for Pora Adumo. And in fact, the Chidoy and the Shem HaGadolim writes that there are 14 different Tzvarim. He lists them, which all give ideas and reasons for the mitzvahs. So you're not short of finding something. So although the Rambam says Ro'oy, it's not Chayav. We don't actually find a duty. But we do in the Torah find an allusion to a duty, because in Devarim Lamed Beis Mem Zayin it says, Ki lo dovar reikhu mikem, the Torah should not be empty before you. And Yerushalmi in Peor Perik Aleph Halacha says, Lama, why? Lefi she'ein atem yegein b'Torah. If you're not really delving properly into Torah, then the Torah will feel empty to you, and you won't know the reasons, you won't understand what it's all about. So it's important to go into it, and that way you will be able to appreciate it. Certainly, says the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim in Chelek Gimel, Perek Kaf Zayin, that even if you don't know the reasons, whatever mitzvah you do is good for you. It's for your benefit. As we say in Devarim chapter 6 in verse 24, Vayetzaveinu Hashem la'aseh eskol achukim o'eleh, so Hashem commanded you to do all these mitzvahs, li'yiroes Hashem elokeinu, to fear him, l'tov lonu, because it is good for us. Kol ha'yomim l'chayoseinu k'hayom hazeh. So even if you don't know the reasons for the mitzvahs, take it for granted that they are good for you when you keep them. And the Meiri in Bava Kamo at the end of Pei Aleph, he says, "V'amitzvah muderes, the best way of keeping the mitzvah is yoseka shiyotseis mipiha yodea inyono. When you know what it's all about, when you know its reasoning and its rationale, that is the best way. That is the mahuda way of keeping the mitzvahs." And there are many psukim in Tehillim which allude to this idea. In Kuf Yud Tes, the longest one, Kafzayin Derech Pikudecho Avinani V'Asicho Beneflosecho. So we're there talking about understanding the Pekudei Hashem, and then I will be able to delve in it. Or the famous Pasuk, Tuv Tam Vodas Landeini, Ki V'mitzvah Secho Haimonti. When you give me good reasons, then I will appreciate it, and then I will have my emunah strengthened. So that's one approach, which is really led by the Rambam. Go out of your way to find the reasons for the mitzvahs. If you can't, okay, it's Gezeiras HaKosov. But by delving into it and finding out the reasons, you'll appreciate the Torah much, much more. But the other approach is, no, don't get so involved in the reasons. Or at least if you know the reasons, that's not your impetus to doing those mitzvahs. And the Kuzari takes a line on this, because in his second Maimar, in paragraph 26, after the giving reasons for some mitzvahs, he says, Umi shekoblo b'tzmimus, but somebody who accepts upon himself the Torah in perfection, b'li his palpulus, without the pilpul, without delving into all the reasons, u'b'li his chakmius, without trying to be an oibachuchum, Molahi minha mischachem v'hachoker. That is the best degree of all. So although it's good to delve, that's the warning sign. It's Gezeiras HaKosov. However, nevertheless, you don't want to be taken in then by sheker if you don't know the reasons, and others come along to you and start giving you misleading ideas and doubts, leading one astray, then it's better to delve and to find good reasons. There's a very interesting tour, the tour being the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, in Yeradeh Kuf Pei Aleph, which speaks about the din of not cutting your payas or not shaving with a razor. The tour says some very interesting words. He says, V'einon tzirichim levakesh tam. We don't need to go for the reasons. V'einon tzirichim levakesh tam with the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs of Hashem are for us even if we don't know what the reasons are. Nevertheless, the Rambam goes out of his way to try and find the reason. He says that this is the way of Gentiles when they cut their sideburns. That's the way of the Gentiles to use a razor, as we don't want to be like them. So there's an interesting Beis Yosef on this, who criticizes the Rambam in a very interesting way. He says, Chas leil Rambam, mina misbahochi. As if Chas v'Shalom, how can the Rambam try and suggesting these reasons? Just because we don't know a reason, it's not a justification for ignoring it. You don't have to go out of your way to try and stretch it in some way in order to give justifications. That is the Gezeiras HaKosov. And besides, even if you know the reason, are you going to understand the reason for all the details? For example, you know what the reason is for tefillin. For tefillin, it says, "Amanti etaras Hashem b'ficho, kiviot chazok asi Hashem b'mitzrayim." In Shmos, chapter 13, verse 9. So we're given a reason for tefillin, but are you given a reason why the tefillin has to be square, why their color has to be black, why the parshios are hidden? And the same by tzitzis. It says also charetem es kol mitzvos Hashem b'midbar tesvov, but it doesn't tell you why you have eight strands and why you do it on four corner garments and all the dinim relating to the knots. You're not given the reasons for those. So there's always going to be a mystical aspect to your mitzvahs. You won't know the reasons for everything. And the Kuzari says in his third Maimah, paragraph 53, he says the mitzvahs are really above nature. You can't fathom them properly. So you will do them because Hashem told you to do them. There's an interesting medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Mem Dalad. It asks, does Hashem really care where the shechita knife goes, on this part of the neck or another part of the neck? Does it really matter? The idea is to do the mitzvahs according to Hashem's will. And it brings a posuk in Mishlei, Kol Imras Elokas Tzerufot, that what Hashem's telling you to do, that's what you will do. And we're not delving into all the reasons. The Midrash talks about the time of Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. All the trees were allowed except one, in order that when seeing it, one remembers Hashem is the creator, that Hashem is the one who's in charge, that one won't become big-headed and arrogant. So there's one tree we're not allowed to eat from, but the reasons are not given. At the end of Parshas Kedoshim, there's an interesting Rashi where it talks about the kashrus of foods, and you will become kodosh. And Hashem says, I will separate you from the peoples. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria Omer, Minayin shelo yomar odom nafshi katzev basar chazir. A person should not say, I feel that pork is repugnant to me. You should say, yes, I like pork. Well, I would like pork. If I'd be allowed to eat it, I want it. Or one shouldn't say, I don't want to wear kilayim. I don't want to wear shatnas. I could. I would. I really would like to. But, but Hashem in heaven made a gezer on me. Talmud Lama, as it says in the Pasuk, I will separate you from the other peoples to be for me. That it's for my own sake. Perish min Averu, Makabal of Al Machos Shemayim. Separate from Averus to accept Al Machos Shemayim. Not just when you say the Shema, you're accepting Al Machos Shemayim, but every single mitzvah. So therefore, forget about doing all the reasons. That's the approach which is different to the Rambam's. So you see it from Rashi, you see it from Kuzari. The Rashba says, we do Hashem's will. And there's a perish on Mor Nevuchim called the Shem Tov who asks in Chelek Gimel, he says, do you ask if silver and gold are good or bad? You know that they're good for you. Imagine the mitzvahs are like gold. Forget about the reasons, you just value it accordingly. And therefore, on certain mitzvahs, there are debates. The Rambam actually looks at kashrus as being good for health. And he's highly criticized by the Abarbanel. He's saying the Torah is not a medical textbook. We're doing what Hashem told us to do. And the Ramban talks about that the outcome of your mitzvahs is to avoid harm, to avoid loss of faith, to avoid bad virtues, to remember Hashem is missing. So there are advantages in not knowing the reasons. And there's in fact a Gemara about this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph, says, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, so Rabbi Yitzchok says, Bibneima non iskalu tarmei haTorah. Why is it that the reasons of the Torah are not revealed? Shtei mikros niskalu tamon, because there are a couple of mitzvahs where the reasons were given. Nichshal b'hem gadol ha'olam. And yet, one of the greatest people who ever lived stumbled on them and made his mistakes. What does it say? Devarim Yudzayin Tesayin. It says by the king, Lo yar belo noshim. He may not have many wives. Velo yoso es levavo, so that his heart should not turn away. Now, all right, he can have up to 18 wives. I think one is enough to handle. But the Torah says to a king, 18 wives maximum. And Shlomo Melech says, my heart will not turn away. I can have more. I mean, can you imagine the household bills? Anyway, pardon?
On a weekend.
I don't know what you mean. All right. All right. Well, the idea of having a harem is going to turn a king's heart away, even though he fancies the idea of having lots of and forgetting about what they call polygamy. Omar Shlomo ani arbe velo osur. It also talks about horses. And in Malachim Aleph, it says that his wives turned his heart away, and having many horses, he went astray, temporarily. So, there you've got the Torah giving reasons, and the fellow's saying, well, these reasons don't apply to me, I don't have to keep it. And that's the reform approach. Well, we don't have to bother with these reasons, and maybe we'll come back to that if we have time. And the Rambam himself does acknowledge this idea. At the end of Sefer Mitzvot, even though he's always trying to give reasons for the mitzvot, he acknowledges that there is a risk. And that if people know all the reasons, they will absolve themselves. Especially people who are weaker than Shlomo HaMelech. I mean, Shlomo HaMelech was such a great wise man. But nevertheless, the Rambam feels, Pekudei Hashem Mishorim Asam Chelev. If you know and appreciate what the mitzvahs are, it will make you happy, it will make you feel fulfilled. And therefore, there's a balance to be struck. And as we all know from Pekei Ovis, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yudeis, if you've got lots of chokhmah, kol shechokhmosa merubah mimasov, if your chokhmah exceeds your deeds, ein chokhmosa miskayemes, your wisdom will fall. So there we get the wise with W-I-S-E. It's important to become wise. And you will become the wise, W-I-S-E, from knowing the wise, W-H-Y-S. But if your wisdom is greater than your deeds, because your deeds have to be delivered, your Yiras Hashem has to be there. And if If your chokhma exceeds your deeds, then it will survive, otherwise it won't. So it's an interesting little debate. There's another example. The rabbis made a rule on Shabbos that you may not sit near to an oil lamp. The old oil lamps, we still have one in our house from my great-great-great-grandmother, they have wicks hanging out over the edge of the oil. And so Chazal made a rule that you may not read by these on Shabbos. Obviously, if you've got electric lights, you won't forget yourself because you've got other light. But Chazal ruled that you might forget yourself if you're only reading by an oil light, because the flame gets smaller on the wick as the oil goes down, so you might pull the wick to make the flame larger. Presumably that's what the habit was during the week. So Chazal were worried that you'll come to do it on Shabbos, and therefore they made a gezeirah, don't read by an oil lamp. So one guy, Rabbi Yishmael, who thought, oh well, I'm a chochom, ani akravelata, I will read by the light and I will not pull the wick. This reason doesn't apply to me. I won't forget myself. So the Bavli says that he almost came to pull the wick, but he didn't actually pull it. But if you look in the Gemara Yerushalmi, it seems from there that he actually did pull the wick, because he says, I will bring a korban chatos when the temple is rebuilt. That he did forget, he pulled the wick, and therefore he stumbled badly. So there you have it. You give the reasons, people will say, oh, it doesn't apply to me. And the Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Ein Gimel on Hilchos Treifos, he says it's for our own good that reasons are not revealed. But people who are purporting to be wise will say that the harm is only caused there and not here, so to avoid the mikshal, we're not always told. And you know what, when you look at people never who do go off the derech, people who do go astray, they also don't bother keeping those mitzvahs which have reasons given. So are people more particular to keep mitzvahs such as tzitzis and tefillin where reasons are given rather than bosa v'cholov? Often people who are going astray, they don't bother about anything. So knowing reasons might well be a hindrance. But nevertheless, we are continuously given reasons. There's a din, you may not shecht an animal and its child on the same day. So the idea is to have rachmonus on the animal, not to be achzori, to be repugnant towards animals. On the other hand, since the reason there is given, are you going to say, well, since I have to shecht for poor people or for sick people, therefore I can do extra shechita today I've killed? You can't do that. There is a din, lo shechatu b'yom echod. And one asks, could it be that certain communities who have been particular about knowing reasons are the ones who ended up in failure and going astray? There's an interesting connection between the mitzvah of Parah Adumah and Kibbud Av Va'Em. Parah Adumah, there's no reason given for. Kibbud Av Va'Em, we know, we understand, it's logical to honor one's parents, given what they do for us. And even what they don't do for us. They brought us into this world. And the Gemara in Kedushin Lamed Aleph gives us a story, a famous story about Dama ben Asino, a non-Jewish fellow who was selling precious stones, and the key the rabbis wanted for the choshen, they wanted a certain precious stone, and they came to him and he said, I can't give it to you because my father is sleeping and the key for the shop is under his pillow. And they begged him and he said, no, I will not wake up my father, it's not kibbudav. And he was rewarded by this so greatly that he was given a parah adumah, which carried a huge value. And they offered him huge, huge money for it. And he said, no, I will only take the money that I lost as a result of not doing that original business deal. So the idea there is, says the Masas Bin Yomin, that we should keep Kibbud Av Va'Em just and Parah Adumah in the same way. We should equate them. Even though we're not given the reason for Parah Adumah, and we are given the reason for Kibbud Av Va'Em, nevertheless, both of them we keep because they are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No cheshbonus, no logic, just do it. So the Sefer HaChinuch says a very interesting idea at the end of Vayikra. He says, the only reason why I'm suggesting reasons for the mitzvahs is because in order to teach young people to appreciate the Torah, And that's why, he says, that's why I call my sefer, Sefer HaChinuch. Because it's integral to the idea of chinuch that you explain things. That when kids say why, don't say, oh, you don't ask questions, just do it. Otherwise they'll go astray. You give them as many reasons as possible. So we're getting the idea, this idea of balance. And we do find that Chazal themselves gave reasons, even though the Torah did not give reasons. Like Bris Mila on the eighth day. So the Gemara Nida, Lamed Aleph, talks about Mila Bashmini. That Ishmini, because we don't want the mitzvah to be given at a time when everybody else is happy, but the parents might be sad, and you're developing more love as the child gets older. So if you do it when the child is older, the father might not want to do Bris Mila. But there are other reasons given, Kedei Lechazik Koach HaVelad. There are now scientific papers which explain why it's such a good time at the time of the eighth day when the blood is just right for healing and so on. So reasons are given, even though the Torah doesn't give reasons. Shiluach HaKen, sending away the mother bird before you take the chicks. The Ramban says it's the same reason as Osav Espanolo, Shishchatu B'Yavechod. Just for the same reason that you don't check an animal and its child on the same day, because it's achzori, it's repugnant to behave like that. And the Rambam says that animals suffer pain just like humans, which is a remarkable chiddush. The Ibn Ezra says in his Yisod Merah, you keep everything without seeking reasons. Otherwise, you will go off the derech if you know the reasons. Will a child refuse bread to eat until he's explained how it's made with all the ploughing and sowing and reaping and how it nourishes? No. So you just give it. And the Rambam says, if you don't find a reason, don't look down on it. So back on this, Lo Shishchatu B'Yom Echad, and the Rambam says in Hilchas Tefillah that we feel for the mother bird, or not shechting on the same day, that is not really the correct attitude. It is Gezeres HaKosuv. And then he says something very interesting. If it's only because of mercy for the animal, being kind to animals, and worrying about Tzar Balei Chaim, he says, well, then we wouldn't do Shechita at all. Alright, we've got plenty of arguments that Shechita is the most humane method. But he said, if you really want to be humane, and you're saying that's the reason for Shidur HaKen, and that's the reason for not shechting on the same day, but if you use that logic, then you won't do Shechita. Then everybody will become a vegetarian. So you can't really pinpoint these reasons as the reasons. Nevertheless, those mitzvahs which we said the Torah does give reasons for, you should really have kavanah with those reasons in mind. So when you do tzitzis, and you do tefillin, you do sukkah, lamanye, you do darasechem, when you do those mitzvahs, you should be thinking of those reasons, because that's the best way of performing those mitzvahs. And there's even a shaila in halacha whether you offer those mitzvahs if you haven't been thinking of the reasons. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Dorash Moshe, notes that it says the words, zos chukas ha-Torah, when it comes to Pora Adumo, and it's also in terms of Kashering Hagolas Kalim, it says Zos Chukas HaTorah. So he asks, why doesn't it say Zos Chukas HaPora or Zos Chukas HaKalim? But it doesn't. It says Zos Chukas HaTorah. So he says, just like these are Chukim, where the reasons are not given, you should treat all mitzvahs like Chukim, as though the reasons are not given. And if you do it without a reason, it's as if you're keeping all the Torah. This is discussed by the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The way I like to see it, in a personal way, is if you put a sefer on a table with some of it overhanging the edge. So let's say you put 60% of the sefer on the table, and the other 40% is not supported, but it doesn't fall down. Why not? Because the other 60% is supported. So we've got ideas in our minds with reasons. We understand and appreciate, for example, that Hashem did miracles for us, that He brought us out from Egypt, and that He gave us the Shabbos, and we saw the mon coming down on the Shabbos. So we know that that is a din min hashamayim. Apart from being given the reasons, we appreciate it in a miraculous way that the mon does not come down on Shabbos. The double portion came down on Fridays. So we got the basis. And in fact, although the Torah was given, we say, on or around Shavuos, There were incidents before Matan Torah when mitzvahs were given, and we were given the reasons for them. And there were, in fact, seven occasions we find mitzvahs before the Torah is given. The Yalkut Yitzchok says that Adam HaRishon was given six of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, like not stealing, not murdering, and so on. Noach was given the mitzvah of Eivei Menachai, completing those seven. The third incident he talks about is Bris Milah with Avraham Avinu. The fourth example he gives is Gid Hanoshe by Yaakov Avinu. Yehuda performed a Yibum, so we got a mitzvah of Yibum as the fifth example. Then we're given the mitzvah of Achodesh Hazeh Lochem, together with the mitzvah of Pesach and the mitzvah of Pidyon Bechor in Mitzrayim, which was the sixth example. The seventh example he gives is we were given the mitzvah of Shabbos by Morah before Har Sinai. So that's the seventh example. And then the eighth event is Har Sinai itself. And we know the significance of the number eight. Atzeres, Shavuos is called Atzeres, is Atzeres, like with Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres is the eighth. And for Pesach, there are 7 days min Atzeres, and Shavuos is the eighth. It's called Atzeres. The Bris Milah is on the eighth day. The idea of eighth, says the Maharal, is it's Lemailo min HaTeva. It's become above nature. It's the supernatural. It's reaching out to Hashem in a holy supernatural way. So Har Sinai is the eighth incident when a mitzvah is given.
What about Peru or Avu?
Oh, very good, yeah. Well, at first, Puruvu is a bracha. It's mentioned twice, and once in Bereishis and once in Noach. But you're right, Puruvu is mentioned in Noach. So there's the man Noach, which we gave as Eivei Menachai. We can link that up with maybe Puruvu, which was also given to Noach. Yes. But you're quite right. Yalkut Yitzchok didn't mention that one. So you know why there's a white space around his margins? So that Davy Levy's commentary can be added to it. Nice one. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah, he saw Hashem finishing off the words of the Sefer Torah, so to speak, with something called tagin. The tagin are the strange little lines you see on top of certain letters. The letters are Shatner's guts. Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadi. And each one of them has three little strokes with a tiny dot on the top of them. And Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand what was going on. So he questioned it. This is the Gemara Menachos Daf Chof Tes, Amud Beis. And he says, well, Moshe Rabbeinu, what's all this about? It was overwhelming for him. So Hashem said, a future Talmud of yours, Rabbi Akiva, he will explain this. And Hashem puts Moshe Rabbeinu in some sort of time capsule. He sits him at the back in the eighth row of Rabbi Akiva's classroom. And Rabbi Akiva is there explaining the tagging. And Moshe Rabbeinu feels like, oh my goodness, this is so difficult to take in. And he's very depressed about it when suddenly one of the Talmidim asks Rabbi Akiva, how do we know this? How do we know all this tugging and its reasons? And Rabbi Akiva answers, it's Halacha L'Moshe Mis-Sinai. Oh, sigh of relief. Back into the time capsule, back up the mountain, and Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah. And this story has an interesting significance nowadays. Because we mentioned briefly before the reform, the breakaways, who took the Torah and basically meddled with virtually every single mitzvah inside it. The reform are not keeping Shabbos, as defined by Torah Shebaal Peh. The reform are not keeping Shatnas, they're not keeping Torah Samishpacha, they're not, you know, every single thing they say, well, what matters is the ethics. You have to have a good heart. B'chol levavacha, you have to serve Hashem with your heart. But really, the bottom line is that it's a humanistic movement because they don't accept Torah min HaShemayim, neither Torah Shebikstav or Torah Shebaal Peh. They say that both were written by humans, even though they may have been divinely inspired. And it's very sad that, you know, when it comes to kashrus, you get a woman who's a so-called reform rabbi who says proudly on the radio that she eats pork. Now, you know, I'm sure Julia Neuberg is a wonderful lady. She's got an award from the Queen as an MBE, I believe. Very nice lady. Oh, Baroness, sorry. But she's not accepting the Torah. And what do the reform call their school? They call it the Akiva school. Now, why do they do that? Because they allude to this story about Rabbi Akiva. They say, could Rabbi Akiva know more than Moses? And then they say, could we know more than Rabbi Akiva? That's the arrogance. They're claiming that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, and Akiva did know, and Akiva was much later, and therefore Akiva knew more than Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore we come after Akiva, therefore we know more than Rabbi Akiva did. I mean, the arrogance is breathtaking. But what do they conveniently miss out when they tell the story of Rabbi Akiva? They miss out when Rabbi Akiva says, Halacha Lemoshe Misinai. We've had this handed down to us, generation after generation, from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Har Sinai. That part is conveniently censored from their text. And that's the danger. That we have to be honest with ourselves. And that's what the story of the Tagin tells us. And that it's very nice to know what the reasons are for all the mitzvahs. Great. But let's face it. We've got Halacha Lemoshe Misinai, we've got mitzvahs handed down to us. We don't understand in our mortal ways. Life is a bit like looking through a keyhole. We can't understand everything. We want to. We want to be Yegeim BaTorah. We don't want the Torah Reik Humikem. But nevertheless, you know, let's look at the reasons but strike the balance and know that if we don't understand what those reasons are, we can still appreciate the Torah properly. And I spoke about a moshel of this book on the table, that some of it is overhanging, it hasn't got support. But we've really got support from the other 60%. But true emunah is when that sefer is resting 100% on the table. When you say, my sefer is on the table, I've got it 100% supported. Because I've got undisputed emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though I don't know the reason for the Torah Aduma or whatever, I've got 100% feeling that my Yiddishkeit is supported, and I don't need one part to support the other part. Every part in itself I have Avas Hashem for and Yiras Hashem for. And it comes now to Zaman Matanta Roseinu Chag HaShavuos. Rav Kerlstein brings Rias to show in his Kuntzrus on Chag HaShavuos that the simcha, that the joy we have on the Shavuos, is a greater joy than any other Yom Tov. Certainly we can eat what we like and where we like. On Pesach we can't eat what we like. On Sukkot we can't eat where we like. But Shavuos, fine, you can eat what you like and where you like. But he says the general simcha is great because Shavuos is the tavlin of the Torah. It's the spice. Because the Kabbalah Satorah we receive on Shavuos, and the reasons which we do appreciate, and even the reasons which we don't understand, we nevertheless got that simcha of Kabbalah Satorah with this close relationship that Hashem has to the Jewish people, that He gave us the Torah, not the other people's, and that this Dveikus, which is caused, brings about a great simcha. So we should all have a Chag Sameach. Thank you. Yes, there's a Kuntzrus on Shavuos by Rav Kerlstein, which...
Okay, thank you very much, Rav Eli. You have a wonderful prophet. By the way...